And I have the third message today in a series of messages entitled, It's All About Jesus. The first message, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke to you on the thoughts, it's all about Jesus and not about me. The disciples had a lot of trouble with that me thing and that Jesus thing and how to keep their priorities straight. It's not all about who's the greatest. It's not all about being chief. It's not all about being served. It's not all about savoring the things of men. It's not all about living the good life. It's about having the cross between your ears, you remember? Thinking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's about savoring the things of God and His plan as opposed to the things of Satan and the things that He'd have us fall in love with. It's about Christ giving His life and us giving ours. It's about serving Christ by serving others. It's about a kingdom that's in this world, but not of this world. Then we talked about the Apostle Paul and how he determined not to know anything among them except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Not the wisdom of men's words, not with some kind of special entertaining type thing, but just to preach Jesus and let that be their motivation. And then last week we tried to go to that story of the cross and just bring out its details in hopes that that might encourage you to serve this Jesus Christ, this God from heaven who came into this world and suffered and died for you. Let that sink down in between your ears what's happened. Let that soak into your mind what Jesus has done for you. That might be a motivation for you to not think about you, but think about Him. And not think about what's in it for me, but to think about how I can give Him glory. Now, last week we talked about the details of that cross, and this week we kind of want to talk about the accomplishments of that cross. I'll tell you what. Jesus paid it all on that cross. Jesus accomplished it all. Jesus came to save His people from their sins, and He did it. And He did it all, and He did it alone, and He gets all the glory. It's not all about what the preacher does. It's not even all about what the sinner does. It's all about Jesus and His salvation. If you could understand that, if you could get that between your ears, that Jesus accomplished your salvation, then you'd give Him a lot of glory, and you wouldn't tend to take glory away from Him by sharing His glory with another. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the sinner. Salvation is all about Jesus. The angel said, call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And then Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:9, this same God who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, past tense. He came to save, and He has saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not if we'll do so and so, not according to what we might do, not if man will help Him out. He's done it, my friends. He's the Savior, and He shall save His people from their sins. And He hath saved us and hath called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. A plan of God that's unstoppable. A Savior of sinners who cannot be hindered. Salvation is about Jesus, and salvation is of Jesus, and salvation is of the Lord. And let he that glorieth glory in the Lord and His salvation. It's not about you. It's about what Jesus has done. Let me read you a couple of verses. Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. A great plan of God Almighty established from before the beginning of the world. Predestination, God's purpose for a destiny for His people. Whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Let me read that again. Whom He did predestinate, that's God. Them He also called, that's God. And whom He called, that's God doing that calling, them He also justified, that's God doing the justifying. And whom He, God, justified, them He, God, also glorified. Take notice of the same thems that He started with, or the whoms that finally get glorified. Take notice also of Christ in this account. Whom He did predestinate, Ephesians 1 and 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, we should be holy and blame without holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. A God who chose his people. A God who predetermined the destiny for those people. That we'd be adopted to be children of his by Jesus Christ and what he accomplished. It was according to the good pleasure of God's will. It was to the praise of the glory of God's grace, wherein God made us accepted in the beloved, that is, in Jesus Christ, we became accepted to God. We didn't have to accept God. God made us acceptable to God. God accepted us in Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came and paid the price and did what he did and accomplished what he accomplished and saved his people from their sins, then God accepted those people. Thanks to the work of Jesus Christ, not thanks to the work of you. It's all about Jesus and not about you. In the eternal plan of God, it's God whom that did predestinate. And whom he did predestinate, them he did predestinate, he also called. What about that calling? What's that talking about? That's of the Lord. That's Jesus Christ who speaks, and you shall hear and shall live. John 5 and 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's regeneration. That's new birth. That's the effectual call. That's irresistible grace. That's the voice of Jesus Christ speaking. And when he speaks to your heart, you hear and you live, and not until then. It's not the voice of the gospel. It's not the voice of the preacher. It's the voice of the Son of God that speaks and calls you from death to life. You hath he quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. The hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's the calling. That's the effectual calling. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Justified. Romans 8 and 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Those that he chose and predetermined their destiny. Who can lay a charge against them? Who can stand up in God's courtroom and bring a charge against those people? The answer to that question, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The answer given in God's word is, it is God that justified. To justify is to declare righteous and innocent. God has declared those that Jesus died for righteous and innocent. And who can bring a charge against the one that God has declared in his courtroom to be righteous and innocent? Not righteous of their own righteousness, righteousness that's given to them thanks to Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus and his righteousness and not about your works. Not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. According to the righteousness that God would declare that's now in us, according to what Jesus Christ has done. So the passage goes on, Romans 8 and 34, who is he that condemneth? Who can condemn one that God has justified? It is Christ that died, yea, rather than is risen again, even seated at the right hand of God, now making intercession for us. Christ died. Christ is risen again. Christ has ascended into glory, sitting on the right hand of God, making sure everything works out. Not that God's not wanting it to work out. That's just a consolation and a comfort and an assurance to us that it's going to work out. Christ died for us. God justified us. Nobody can bring a charge against us. Nobody can condemn anybody that Christ died for. Everybody that Christ died for has been justified by God Almighty in heaven in his courtroom, and Jesus there even now ensuring, making intercession for us, that the ones that he died for will be with him forever. So that brings us back to our text and the accomplishments of God, the accomplishments of Christ. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. I want to tell you, my friends, everyone that was given to Christ before the foundation of the world in God's wonderful plan of grace will be with Christ at the end of the world forever and ever. It goes like this, John 6 and 37, all that the Father giveth me, that's those that were given to Christ in the covenant of grace before the beginning of time, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's the same as saying they're glorified. They're going to be glorified with me forever. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, That's all that the Father gave to Jesus before the foundation of the world. That's all the ones that Jesus has spoken life into when he speaks, and you shall hear and shall live and raise from spiritual deadness to spiritual life. That's all that Jesus died for on the cross. Everyone Jesus died for on the cross. Everyone that was given to Jesus, Jesus calls with the effectual call. Everyone that was given to Jesus, Jesus died for his people. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And everyone he died for gets justified in the courtroom of God, and nobody can bring a charge against them, so that the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. Everyone that was predestinated gets the call. Everyone that gets the call gets the justification. Everyone that gets the justification gets the glorification, so that there'll be none missing at the last. Everyone Jesus was sent for, everyone that was given to Jesus will be with Jesus in the end. So that he says, I give unto them eternal life, John 10:28, and they shall never perish, be glorified forever with him. No man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Their salvation, that's all of the Lord. There's salvation that bypasses the sinner and his help. There's salvation that bypasses anything the preacher has to do. It's of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Let's consider. Let's consider the accomplishments of Christ on that cross. Last week we considered the details of the cross. Let's consider the accomplishments of the cross today. I'll tell you what was accomplished on that cross. Redemption was accomplished. Ransom was accomplished. That's sort of the same concept. Redemption and ransom. Redemption is a price that is paid. Ransom is a price that is paid, so that the one the price is paid for will be set free. Set free. Set at liberty. Released from their captivity. No more bondage. The ransom's been paid, and the sinners have been freed from the debt that they owe. That's redemption, to pay a debt. To pay the price so that the debt will be paid. What do we know about these things? Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God sent forth his Son at the appointed time, at just the right time, to redeem them that were under the law. Did Christ redeem? Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves. It wasn't the blood of goats and calves in all those Old Testament sacrifices. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place. He didn't carry the blood of a goat. He didn't carry the blood of a calf. He carried his own blood, your priest, Jesus Christ. He was your priest, and he was the lamb too. And he carried his own blood, that priest, Jesus Christ, into that holy place where God dwells. Let's read it. But by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When Jesus carried that blood, that price that must be paid to God Almighty, the price was paid and eternal redemption was obtained. Having obtained, past tense, he has obtained eternal redemption for us. If it's eternal redemption, it's forever, my friends. No more debt, nothing else owed. Let's do one for ransom. I like this one. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. You remember? That's the way we're supposed to be looking at things. It's not all about me. It's not all about getting served. It's about serving. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to pay the price. He came to redeem, and he has obtained that redemption. Now we think about it from a ransom point of view. What's a ransom? It's a price that's paid so the captives can be set free. Now, if Jesus paid the price to God Almighty for the captives to be set free, and I'll tell you, that's who he paid it to. That's who we owe the debt to, was God, because of our sins. And Jesus came, and he set the captives free by paying the ransom price to the one who held the captives. Isaiah chapter 49, let's read verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? I want to tell you, we were under captivity, not to Satan, but to God Almighty and his judgment.
and his hatred of sin and his wrath against sin, and we were captives. And the question is, can that captive be delivered? The next verse says, "But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered, for I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children." That's God talking to God, my friends. That's Jesus Christ confronting the Father. That's the Savior confronting the judge. And the Savior can take the captivity from one who has it captive. The captives of the mighty can be taken away from that mighty judge God by Jesus Christ. The prey of the terrible can be delivered, shall be delivered. For Jesus will contend with him that contendeth with thee. Jesus will fight your battle for you, even the battle that God would fight against you in his wrath and anger against the sins you've committed. Jesus takes those sins upon himself and suffers the wrath of God, and him that contendeth with thee, he'll contend with the one that contends with thee, and will save his children. My friends, there was a ransom owed, but Jesus paid the ransom. Now, do you think that when God the Father accepts that ransom, that he's still going to demand something? Or is he going to set the captives free that the ransom was paid for? My friend, God's a good God and a righteous God and a just God. And when he accepts the redemption price, when Jesus brings that blood into that holy place, and God accepts that as a ransom for many, a price that's paid, the captives have to be set free. God is not righteous if they're not. Everyone Jesus died for and paid the price for and is the ransom in their behalf, they're all set free from their captivity. Jesus confronted the one who held us captive and the one who had contention against us, and he saved his people from their sins. Every person Jesus died for has to be set free. Now, I want to tell you, if Jesus died for everybody, then everybody's going to be set free and everybody's going to heaven, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The answer here, my friends, is that Jesus didn't die for everybody. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came to die for the ones that had been given to him, for that elect of God that he made accepted in the Beloved. What about the accomplishments of Christ? What about the accomplishments of that cross? Cleansing occurred with that blood of Jesus on that cross. Psalm 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." What a glorious thought that though sinners we are in the sight of God at the judgment seat of eternity, we have no sin to our account. Jesus removes those sins as far as the east is from the west. Isaiah 43:25, Jesus am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. For his glory, for his sake, for his honor, give him the praise, my friends. You don't do anything. It's not according to our works. It's according to him, and it's for his honor that this is done. For mine own sake, he says, I won't remember those sins that I've blotted out. Removes those sins as far as the east is from the west, and for his sake, for his honor, give him honor and glory. It's not about you. It's about what he's done, that he's blotted out those sins and will remember them no more. One more about cleansing, about washing. Revelation 1:5, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." What a thought. The one that loved us enough to come and die for us, it's all about him. Give him the glory. The one that loved us enough to come and die for us, and in that dying and shedding of that blood, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. So we've been redeemed. The ransom's been paid. Our sins have been removed. Our transgressions blotted out. And he's washed us from our sins in his own blood. And besides just washing those sins away, he's given us his righteousness. He doesn't impute those sins to us anymore and account them against us, but he accounts his righteousness for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us." God the Father, the judge of eternity, made Jesus to be sin for us. "He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, he had no sin of his own, that we, in order that we, here's why God made Jesus to be sin for us, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Boy, now that's some good righteousness. That's good enough kind of righteousness. It's not of our own works, but the righteousness of Christ is sufficient. So not only does he take our sins away and wash us from our sins, he adds to us his righteousness so that we now have the righteousness of God. That's your ticket to heaven, my friends, that you don't have any sins and that you do have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God, Jesus, made you fit to be there. It's not all about what you've done. It's all about what Jesus has done. It's all about what God has done. God has made us, made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of Christ in him. Ah, says it like this in Romans 4:6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That man that God imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not according to that man's work, but according to the righteous work of Jesus Christ, that righteousness of Jesus is imputed unto each one of God's people, so that they now stand holy and without blame before God in love, according to his eternal plan, according to what Jesus did for us on that cross. So that he took away our sins and gave us his righteousness. Boy, that's a double good deal, isn't it? What about reconciliation? What about peace with this God who hates sin? Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's who Christ died for. It's all about him and him dying for the ungodly. It's not all about how godly you are. It's all about what Christ did for the ungodly. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we're still sinners, God shows his love for us, that he sent his son to die for us. Not because we were godly, because we were ungodly, but in spite of us being godly, we were still ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If when we were enemies, when we were ungodly, when we were yet sinners, Christ sent his son that we might be justified, that we might be declared without those sins, that we might be declared to be righteous before his eyes. When we were enemies, we were made, peace was made. We were yet reconciled to God by the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus made the peace. Jesus brought the reconciliation between a holy God and sinful people. And much more, having been reconciled, the peace having been made, we shall be saved by his life. Everyone that Jesus reconciled to God shall be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. God made the peace. God hath, past tense, hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, so that it is not now you that make the peace with God, it's God that's made the peace with you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God's holy plan. It's all about that cross and what that cross accomplished. It's not about you, my friend. It's about Jesus and his salvation. Forgiveness of sins, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1:7. We have the forgiveness of sins because God is rich in grace to forgive us of our sins. We have remission of sins, for this is my blood of the New Testament, Matthew 26:28, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. You know what remission is? The removal of the consequences of. The removal of the consequences of our sins. Jesus accomplished that. Jesus took away the consequences of our sins of burning hell forever. It's by him that we have remission of those sins. Jeremiah 50:20, in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for. That's who can bring a charge? Who can condemn? The iniquity, the sins are sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. Those that have a reservation in heaven, thanks to me. Those whom I reserve, I will pardon. I will overlook, forgive, remove the consequences of their sins. We have substitution that was accomplished on that cross. Christ took our place. He bore our griefs, Isaiah 53:4. He carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of the punishment of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. We are healed. He took upon Himself the punishment that was due to us. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of all of His people, and Christ was our substitute. And God is satisfied with that work of Christ. Isaiah 53:11. He shall see of the travail of His soul. God the Father, the Judge in heaven, shall look at the suffering of Jesus' soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. He bears their iniquities. God looks at that scene, and God is satisfied with that scene, and Jesus said it is finished, and God knows it's finished, and the peace has been made, and the punishment's been doled out, and the redemption price has been paid, and the ransom has been accepted, and the sinners have been cleansed, and the righteousness of Christ has been imputed, and God is satisfied with that whole thing, and by His knowledge, by what God knows, that righteous servant, Jesus Christ, shall justify many. Justify. To be declared innocent and holy in the courtroom of God. Romans 3:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Not by your works, not according to what you would do, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the grace of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace. That's it, how it works. Romans 5:9, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved. Oh, not by our works, but by His grace and His blood, He declares us to be just. He declares us to be righteous and innocent. And whom God declares to be righteous and innocent, who can lay a charge against that character? Who can bring a condemnation against one Christ died for? I want to tell you, Jesus came to save His people from their sins, and He'll save everyone. He has saved everyone. It's a done deal. He hath saved us and called us with that holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It's all about Jesus and the accomplishments on that cross, and it's not about you. God bless you, and I hope you'll join us next time.